This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Less Cinderella stories means better NCAA basketball tournament. Everybody says they love Cinderella stories, but the ratings show that when the powerhouse programs are in the tournament, more people are watching. Only two teams that weren't expected or weren't seeded in the top four advanced to the Sweet 16, John. And yet, and in the field of 32, every single favorite won. Every single favorite against the betting line won. This, to me, is the best thing about this college basketball tournament. I know UCF, very nice little effort. That was a cute effort they had against Duke.
It was more than cute.
I would much rather watch Zion and Duke than watch UCF advance and waste any more of my time.
Well, let's be honest about something. There's a big misconception about the NCAA tournament, I feel. Part of the allure, part of the glamour, part of the attraction to the NCAA tournament are all the Cinderella stories. But if you go back and look year by year, there are always exceptions and outliers. I understand that. But if you go back and look year by year, the top seeds always make it to the round of 16 and the Elite Eight, and often, of course, to the Final Four by the process of elimination, by default, I should say. The Cinderella stories are always first and second day stories. And then that's it. Yeah. So when people say, and I heard Paul this morning talking about he doesn't like this tournament because it's the chalk basically going in front. Go back and look. Go back and look at the Elite Eight and the Sweet 16 the last 10 years.
Until a couple years ago, I think that only one team seeded out of the top eight had ever won the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Danny Manning. Manning or something like
that.
Yeah,
and they were number one in the country to start the year and then went on a losing streak. I remember that team because Larry Brown coached it. And
Cinderella doesn't typically win.
Cinderella advances in the first round and maybe the second round. And then the best teams in the country advance. Just because it's more so. This is the outlier the other way, okay? There's always a couple of, 7-8 seeds that advanced to the Final Four. Or there was once, a couple of times, I should say, a 12 seed, 11 seed that advanced. But by and large, this is it. This is the out. But those are outliers in that direction. The outliers in this direction are this is all the chalk. It's ones everywhere, twos everywhere, et cetera.
UCF had Duke on the ropes. They were actually up four with the ball with under 2 minutes remaining. Decided to try to throw an alley-oop, and it backfired. They missed the alley-oop. Duke cuts the lead to one, and then Zion Williamson gets an and-one, fouls out their big man, and then Duke gets a putback, and they end up knocking off UCF. After the game, Johnny Dawkins, former Duke player, former Duke assistant coach, he delivered a speech that had John Lopez all teary-eyed when he came in this morning.
Yep.
You can hear the kids crying in the background. This is just a little snippet of Johnny Dawkins addressing his UCF team after their loss to Duke.
Can be more proud of how you handled yourself on and off the court. We always said it's going to end two ways when you invest like we invest. It's going to end, man, celebrating. We're going to end crying. We're going to end in tears. We end in tears. That's because we invested, as I said before, so much in each other and so much in what we were doing. We got a lot of good memories, man. A lot of good memories. We've accomplished a lot of amazing things this year. We're proud of you guys. We're proud of the effort and the energy that you gave us all year long. Chad, what are we going to say, man?
Hey, family on three, family on three. One, two, three, family!
I mean, they should be crying because they smoked the
game
away.
Come on now.
They smoked the game away.
Like, you're the worst.
No, this is the thing, John. Like, throughout a game, it becomes a fluid process. And as soon as you have the ball up four, you have a chance to kill more clock, or you have a chance to make a basic pass to somebody and make a layup instead of trying to alley-oop. They went from being the Cinderella story to choking away the game.
It wasn't a choke.
They choked away the game. Yesterday, all right, there's certain teams, like certain losses, Purdue was down 21 at half to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back and they sent it to overtime. Purdue had nothing to be ashamed of. They left it all on the court. UCF choked. They choked. And I know that Duke is the number one overall seed and everybody's picking Duke. I think we both picked Duke to win it. But UCF choked. And I think Purdue, if you're Purdue and you lost the way you did, I think you'll have a much better time sleeping at night than you will if you're on UCF, because that was there was no excuse for them to have lost that game in that situation.
UCF did not choke. Absolutely, positively did not choke.
Then what do you call it?
Because if you think for a second they didn't leave it all out on the floor, did you not hear the audio of how much it was hurting them because of all they did and all they accomplished?
But I think it hurt them. I think it hurt so much because they know that they smoked away the game.
You've heard the term shooter shoot, right?
Sure.
So what does a shooter do even if things are not going well at all times? They shoot. They shoot the ball. Just the way a basketball team has an identity, you play to that identity at all times. And I get
it. So their identity's dumb?
No, I wasn't dumb. That's how they play the game. What I'm saying is if I were in the point guard's ear as he's going up to court saying, I would have, tried to say, hey, let's run some clock. Hey, let's run our offense.
I meant Iowa, not Purdue. I'm sorry. I mixed up.
Yeah, Iowa. Yeah. Because Purdue's advancing.
Yeah, Purdue's still in.
I would say, hey, let's run some clock. Let's run our offense. Let's take a good shot. But in the course and the flow of the game, I'm not going to blame Central Florida, whose style of play got them to that point, to that four-point lead. I'm not going to blame them for continuing with that style of play.
Well, based on that philosophy, that's like an air raid college football team.
No, I'm saying I would have told them, let's do this, but I'm not going to blame them for doing what got them there.
What they did up four, throwing that alley-oop, that's the equivalent of a college football program that's an air raid team having a two-possession lead in a game and deciding they're going to throw the ball instead of running the ball and milking some clock. That's exactly what they just did. And if a football team
You're saying that as if teams don't do that.
They do, and we kill them for it. But just because it's March Madness and just because it's a Cinderella story, we sit there and say that they should play that style. You got to change your style in the situation.
I get mad when people sit on the ball in football and get out of character. And that's my big takeaway here. They were in their character. They were in character.
Well, they need to get out of character and
win
the
football game. Teams who try to get out of character, we kill those more than the ones who continue to do what they do. How many times have you been watching, whatever team that you're watching that you're pulling for, and all of a sudden they're getting up and down the field, and then in the fourth quarter with 8 minutes left, you've killed Bill O'Brien for this. All of a sudden they try to, take the air out of the ball. I'm not going to kill him for that at all. I think it was just tough luck. Man, they were good. They had...
There's 1 minute 56 remaining. 30 yeah. seconds on the shot clock. Even if you just take a shot clock violation, you're going to be mm-hmm. up 4 with 126.
Mm-hmm.
Duke was not going to overcome that lead. Instead, you smoke it off, you go. It was a choke.
And it wasn't a choke. That's the last thing it was.
Congratulations to UCF for the effort, but you choked.
I'm not averse to using the word choke. Anybody who's listened to me for any amount of time knows that I will use that. That was not a choke by any stretch.
I disagree. 713-572-4610. Can a Cinderella team choke? There are a lot of... We talk about the BS in sports and why we like March Madness, because mm-hmm. there's not as much BS. There was a pathetic attempt by some of these media types to make something of Tom Izzo coaching his team. And I get that Tom Izzo can be a little bit of a walking bit coach.
Sure.
And I think a lot of times he overcoaches and he gets a little bit too obnoxious. But in the first day of the tournament, when he was yelling at his player, people were trying to have hot takes about it and act like Tom Izzo owed some sort of apology, even though the players didn't even have a problem with it.
No.
And I got to give credit to Tom Izzo, because he squashed that BS like a bug on the floor, and he took it to another level over the weekend when his team advanced to the Sweet 16. Tom Izzo was asked how he lit a fire under his team's butt at halftime after they were being out-rebounded. And this is Tom Izzo kind of taking a shot at the media and all the people for getting mad at him the way he coaches.
So, Tom, I think you guys were -6 in rebounding at halftime. Ended up, I think you were +15 in the second half in rebounding. How did which players allowed that to happen for you? I imagine some challenging went on.
No. We went in the halftime. We had a love fest. We all kind of gathered around. We hugged each other and said, listen, it's okay, guys, that we got out-rebounded by a smaller team. It's okay, but if we could find a way to do a little better job, it would probably help us win. And that's what we did, to be honest with you.
Oh, that's good. There's a line And it's kind of one of those things, kind of like I said in the past, and I think I brought you around to this point. You can't define what pornography is, but you know it when you see it.
I think you can define it.
No, you can't. You really can't. You know, you can't define what pornography is, but you know it when you see it.
I can. I just can't do it right now. It's pretty basic what pornography is.
It's not, but we'll get back to that. Here's my point. It's like that. You can't define what the difference is between hard coaching and good coaching and going over the line, but you know it when you see it. That was hard coaching. That was good coaching. You know, a lot of people, we see those moments over a lot of times where people go over the line or whatever. But that was not it. You know, good hard coaching when you see it.
And when the player comes out and says that it wasn't a big deal and they're talking to him, mm-hmm. I think you should probably just back off and quit trying to get mad just to get mad.
Remember the Jimbo thing? Grab that kid's face mask?
Yes.
That was on the line maybe, but it wasn't over the line. It was good hard coaching. And what did the player say there?
Same thing.
I deserved it.
The same thing.
Yeah.
And then there was also a video yesterday at Tennessee, Rick Barnes. They played Iowa, by the way. I said Purdue. I was mixing up my black and gold squads. But Rick Barnes is pushing his player, and everybody's saying that he went over the line. Dude, he was pushing him, demonstrating how he got fouled.
Yes.
But instead, in the GIF era we're in, people take a picture of that, and they're trying to have hot takes about it. It drives me nuts. Yeah. You know the thing that drove me the most nuts about this tournament, though?
What was that?
Look, number three on Duke, Jones.
I know exactly what you're doing. Going to say.
Young man, you cannot be a guard at Duke University and the opposing team ignore you when you're in the corner for a wide open corner three. That cannot happen. I can understand if you're dribbling it at the top of the key and they're sagging off on you like they used to Eric Snow in the mm-hmm. early 2000s, but with how close corner threes are, Bruce freaking Bowen learned how to make corner threes. With how close corner threes are, especially in college basketball, you cannot have a scholarship to Duke University and them ignore you in the corner. And furthermore, when you shoot that corner three late in the game and you smoke it over the rim,
yeah,
should turn your jersey in and just quit playing.
That drove
me absolutely crazy.
Now, that's a really solid point. You don't go to Duke.
You cannot not be able to make a corner three and be a guard at Duke.
Remember,
there's no reason for that.
Remember the 30 for 30 on Mike Krzyzewski? Like literally the first practice of freshmen, well, with freshmen with the Duke varsity team or the Duke team there, the first thing Mike Krzyzewski says is you have to make an open three. You have to make an open three and we'll win a lot of games. He said it to the Olympic team. Remember Kobe's like, I'm not used to having an open three. Well, you will. When you play our style on this Olympic team, and sure enough, Kobe did. But you have to make an open three.
You're a guard at Duke.
If Duke doesn't have a guy that does that, they're not going to win.
Duke.
Zion is talk about must see TV.
First freshman to have 30-10 in the opening weekend since Melo.
Yeah. He's incredible. I've got a take on Zion that we're going to get to Zion and others probably about 12:20 or so, but. Yeah, at Duke, you got to be able to knock down a shot.
No excuse for that. This is another thing that's driving me crazy. We're talking about the good and bad from the opening weekend of March Madness. You remember in the 90s when the Fab Five came around?
Yeah, I covered that team.
Yeah, and it was C-Webb, Juwan mm-hmm. Howard, Jimmy King, Ray Jackson, and Juwan Howard and Jalen Rose, You remember when they had they were the first guys to start the baggy shorts?
Yeah, took their cue. Yeah,
yeah, the baggy shorts. You can basically and Michael Jordan too.
That's what I'm saying. They took their cue from Michael Jordan, but they brought it to college.
What's going on now? Because what's with
with the little shorts?
What's going on right now? I thought we used to make fun of that with the 80s when we watch 80s or 70s. What's with these short shorts now? What's going on?
That's how I played the game.
Figgy, how you feel about these short shorts?
I'm all right with it. It's better than the real, real, real baggy ones.
Yeah.
But I think LeBron brought that out because he started wearing his shorts shorter
mm-hmm.
and people started following
that. He did, didn't
he?
These kids got to cut this out.
That's how I played, man.
They got to cut this out.
A lot of man thigh showing.
Just stop.
I'm okay with it, long as it ain't the John Stockton shorts.
Dude, yeah.
That's pretty much what it is. I don't know what
these
kids are doing.
It's not that short.
I don't know what these kids are doing. U of H, by the way, a lot of short shorts on that squad. A lot of short shorts.
I can't stop watching them play, man. I love watching U of H play basketball. just
elaborate.
Freaking love it. The Why? Way they, there was a team that we used to play regularly whenever I was dabbling in the coaching arts. One of our big rivals, and I kind of hated that team because we were always in some battles with them, but I loved their slogan. Their slogan was GATA, G-A-T-A, get after that ass. And they were a really good defensive team. The Houston Cougars are GATA. I mean, they get after your ass. I mean, the way they – just the fundamental things, the small things, when a coach says you got to hedge on that pick, they hedge harder. You know, and for those who don't know, like if a guy sets a screen, the guy who is whose man is setting the screen hedges. In other words, they pop up and try to stop the ball, but they just do it perfectly. The way they just, I mean, just everything they do defensively, everything they do for loose 50-50 balls and stuff like that. I can't stop watching them. I said it to start the show, and I'm going to live with this, man. There are a lot of coaches who are better coaches than Kelvin Sampson. The record says as much in this tournament. But no team is being coached better this year than the Houston Cougars. They are a joy to watch.
Man, they will guard your ass. It's going to be interesting.
They're
to
see Gators.
I'll turn up on your bitch ass.
That's what they do. They turn up on that bitch ass. And I'm gonna call them Gator the rest of the tournament for as long as they're
Gator.
Alive. Gator.
You think that's gonna stick?
No, but they remind me of that. They get after that ass.
You know the worst thing about the NCAA basketball tournament?
What's that?
Why in the hell are they pushing orange vanilla Coke? What is going on? Orange vanilla Coke? What are we doing here? What do you think that even tastes like? Orange vanilla Coke?
Are they trying to make it like a sherbet kind of feel?
What in the heck could that possibly taste like?
Could it be good frozen?
Hell
it sounds
no.
horrible to me.
Orange vanilla Coke?
Any flavored Coke. I like flavored things like ice creams. I mean, not ice cream, but like a sherbet or something like that. But any flavored, like I've had vanilla Coke. Coke Zero, I'm a big Coke Zero guy. I try to limit myself to one a day, hopefully. But the flavored ones are awful. Can you imagine orange vanilla?
What is going on, man? Like, are they not selling enough sodas? You're trying to make me try orange vanilla Coke?
They're trying to. You've seen the commercials with the little the thin cans and the people walking up and down the street,
man,
that are 20-something. They're trying to find a smaller audience, a younger
crazy.
Audience.
By the way, you're getting killed on the text line for that porn take. That is your worst take you've ever had.
Dude, I didn't even coin that take. I got it from someone else. And it's absolutely true.
You can't define pornography. Yes, you can.
Okay, define pornography.
It's, I mean, can I do this? Like, sexual intercourse.
Okay, so your mom and dad were pornographers.
If they would have made a tape and people would have watched, it would be pornographic. Yes.
Okay, so art films of people making love is pornography.
It depends if they're showing the privates. Like if you can see the private, like no, like dry humping with Halle Berry and Billy Bob Thornton was not pornography because you couldn't see the part. You couldn't see the parts below the waist.
Mm-hmm.
They could show above the waist, but not below the waist. Am I making myself clear?
No, you're actually making my point for me. You know, like there are always like if someone has intercourse in an art film, in a French art film or something, and they show everything, is that pornography? No. In fact, I think a judge said it. Sean Pendergast knows this. He always listens. That this line that I'm stealing, that I've stolen for the last decades or so, last few decades. Here it is, right here. So you're going to go against the United States Supreme Court is what you're telling me.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I can define pornography.
Well, the United States Supreme Court could not, and it was Jacob Ellis versus Ohio, and that is where the quote came from. This is the most famous opinion of Jacob Ellis was Justice Potter Stewart's concurrence, holding that the Constitution protected it, except here's his quote right here.
John. What are you doing?
No,
right
no, I'm
now?
Proving you wrong by the Supreme Court. We're going to the highest court to prove you wrong. So listen to this quote from a justice on the United States Supreme Court.
Okay.
All right, in 1964. I shall not today attempt further to define the kinds of material I understand to be embraced within that shorthand description of pornography. Perhaps I could never succeed in intelligibly doing so, but I know it when I see it. And the motion picture involved in this case is not that. Mic drop.
It's the worst mic drop ever.
Oh, the Supreme Court. You're saying you're right and the Supreme Court's wrong.
Yes, I can define pornography. I can definitely define pornography. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. It is In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Big weekend for the New England Patriots. Robert Kraft ended his silence, but he told you more than he wanted to tell you. And Rob Gronkowski ended his career. Has the landscape of the AFC changed? We'll get into that next.
Pornography on your computer?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.